If you've ever been drowning in technical specs, maybe trying to read an industry report.
Oh, yeah. Or listening to someone super qualified explain their job.
Exactly. And you just feel that wall of jargon go up. You've experienced something called the curse of knowledge.
It's this bias,
Yeah.
right, where experts just assume everyone else has the same background.
And their explanations end up being, well, totally impenetrable.
It's an instant roadblock, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you're smart enough to get the basic idea, but the vocabulary just turns it into code.
Yeah, completely. So today we're aiming to tear down that wall.
That's the plan.
We are diving deep into the method created by Randall Munroe. He basically proved that even the most complex topics, in the universe, they can be made understandable.
And get this, using only the simplest words we have.
Just the 1,000 most common words in English, or 1,000, as he puts it.
Our mission here in this deep dive is really to explore how this radical linguistic constraint, we're calling it the Munroe method, how it forces us.
Us meaning everyone, scientists, managers.
Everyone, yeah, teachers too. It forces us to focus purely on function, on purpose, instead of just relying on lazy labels.
Okay, think about that for a second. You listening right now, if you had to explain the most complicated thing you deal with every day, maybe it's software, maybe a medical thing, or a financial concept,
Right.
but you couldn't use any of the special words, how would you even start?
That's the challenge. That's what we're digging into.
And our guide for this whole exercise in radical simplicity is Randall Munroe.
A figure who really does embody that bridge between like deep science and communication everyone can get.
A lot of people probably know Munroe mainly as the brain behind the Cassady webcomic.
Which is fantastic.
It is. It's famous for using these like deceptively simple stick figures.
Yeah, but they deliver these complex, often really funny commentaries on science, math, human relationships.
But that humor, it's backed by some serious rigor, isn't it?
That's the crucial point here. Munroe isn't just, a cartoonist or some clever amateur. He actually holds a degree in physics.
And he worked professionally, right, as a robotics and programming contractor.
Peninsula Langley Research Center. So he knows his stuff.
That combination, that dual background, it's just incredibly effective. He has the deep scientific understanding of how complex systems work.
But he also has this honed communication skill. He can translate these really profound ideas into something that's, well, universal, engaging, and often pretty funny.
He knows exactly where the simplicity needs to stop and the complexity begins, yeah?
Yeah.
So he can communicate the core truth.
Exactly. His authority comes from proving he can hold both things in his mind. The profound complexity of science and the simplicity needed to teach it to someone interested but new to it.
Okay, let's get to the rule. The rule that makes this whole thing possible. His book, Thing Explainer, uses only the 1,000 most common English words.
The 1,000 words.
Right.
And look, this isn't just some quirky gimmick. It's a profound linguistic challenge. Think about what's
What
missing.
kind of words?
Words we use every single day for science and tech, like engine, electricity, atom, molecule, cell.
Wow.
Even fundamental stuff, like gravity. It's off limits.
Okay, hang on. How do you possibly explain, like, how satellites stay up or how a dam works if you can't say gravity?
You can't. And that's the genius of it, the constraint. If Munroe can't use the noun gravity, he's forced to explain the effect. He has to describe it, the way things fall down or what pulls the air near the ground. It forces the conversation away from just naming things.
And towards function, what it does,
Exactly.
which brings us straight to a concept we really need to define here. First principles thinking. This is the intellectual muscle the Munroe method makes us exercise.
Right. First principles thinking. It's essentially boiling down something complex to its fundamental, like undeniable truths.
So instead of thinking by analogy or just doing what's always been done,
Or relying on jargon in this case.
right, you ask, what are the absolute basic parts? What's the core mechanism? What is this thing for? So if I'm explaining a jet engine, I don't start with a combustion cycle. I start with, look, this is a big fan. It sucks air in, squeezes it really tight, puts fire in it.
And then pushes it out the back really fast to move the plane. That's it. That's the function. Stripped right down.
Okay.
And this leads to a powerful kind of rediscovery. You realize the reason you truly understand something isn't because you learned the fancy label, but because you actually grasped the basic physics, the functionality behind it.
Let's see this in action then. Some famous case studies. We kind of have to start with the big one, right? The most complex machine humans have ever built.
Has to be. The Saturn V rocket.
The machine that took people to the moon.
And in Monroe's simple vocabulary, it instantly becomes the Upgoer 5.
Upgoer 5, because its core purpose is just go up really fast.
Simple as that.
But the complexity is obviously in the engineering. Specifically, that idea of staged rockets where parts fall off.
And Monroe explains that detail just by saying simply, the bottom parts fall off to make it lighter.
It translates the complex engineering into just common sense.
Totally. And the functional descriptions are so clear. The command module, where the astronauts are, that's the people box.
The people box, I love that.
And the huge fuel tanks. They're full of fire, water, and cold air.
What's really insightful there is the teaching power of those analogies. When you say people box, you're not just naming it. You're sort of mapping its purpose and location in your mind.
Instantly. Yeah. It's intuitive.
Yeah.
And the implication is huge. If the Saturn V, like the absolute peak of human engineering, can be broken down and explained using these simple 1,000 words.
Then the message is pretty clear.
The physical world is fundamentally understandable, as long as the explanation is honest and clear.
But I mean, doesn't this simplicity sometimes risk losing necessary precision? If you call that massive tank of cryogenic liquid oxygen just cold air, aren't you potentially misleading someone about how incredibly powerful, maybe even dangerous that stuff is?
That's a really good question. And it's where the method kind of needs defending. The goal of Thing Explainer isn't to train professional rocket scientists, right?
Okay.
It's to provide the foundational intuition. Once you understand the function that this cold stuff and the firewater mix together to make a lot of heat and pushing power,
you get the basic idea.
You have the essential framework. Adding the precise terms later, like liquid hydrogen, cryogenic oxygen, that just adds necessary detail onto a concept you already understand.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So the simple words build the skeleton of understanding,
exactly.
And the technical terms add the flesh later.
Exactly.
Let's shift gears from the huge, the cosmic, down to the microscopic, applying the same radical simplicity to biology. What's the fundamental building block of life?
The cell. And Monroe titles this section, The Tiny Bags of Water You're Made Of.
Wow. That immediately makes this abstract idea, a cell, feel tangible. It's a bag. It's tiny. It's mostly water.
Yeah. And inside that tiny bag, the key parts get these functional, almost personified roles. The nucleus, which holds our genetic material.
Not called a nucleus?
Nope. It's the little boss. Yeah. And it holds the blueprints for you, which is DNA, of course.
The blueprints for you. That's great. And mitochondria. The power generators.
Those are the powerhouses. They burn food for energy.
Man, I wish my high school biology teacher had used that analogy. It completely transforms this invisible, complex structure into like a busy little workplace.
It leverages personification really effectively. Mm-hmm. Makes it memorable.
Yeah.
Connects these, you know, chemical processes to behaviors we understand. And that technique really shines when he tackles maybe the most audacious topic of all.
Which is?
The entire periodic table of elements. He calls it the pieces everything is made of.
Okay, explaining the whole periodic table with only 1,000 words, that sounds ambitious.
It is. But the goal isn't just rote memorization of element names. It's about teaching the logic, the organization of chemistry, why elements behave the way they do.
So function again.
Exactly. You don't get the term noble gases, for instance.
So what do you get instead?
You get air that doesn't like to touch anything.
Chuckles. Air that doesn't like to touch anything.
That description, doesn't like to touch anything, instantly conveys the chemical principle of being inert, non-reactive.
Way more effectively than saying full valence shell configuration.
Absolutely. Way more effectively.
That's actually profound. You're translating a complex chemical principle into a simple, relatable social trait. Aloofness.
It shows that sometimes real precision doesn't live in the technical term itself, but in the clarity of the functional description.
We should also quickly mention the tech example you like, right? The microwave oven?
Ah, yes. The food heating radio box.
Food heating radio box. And the explanation for how it works is just so clean. It uses invisible radio waves to shake the water and food. And that shaking is what makes the food get hot.
Which is fundamentally accurate. It avoids the kind of vague, often confusing term microwave, and just tells you the mechanism. Mm. Invisible waves, making water molecules move and create heat through friction.
Okay, so we've seen the method in action. Saturn V, cells, periodic table, microwaves. But what does this all mean for us? Let's talk about the key themes this method brings up, starting with the problem it solves.
Yeah, I think this method is a really profound, practical critique of jargon. Jargon, I mean, it's efficient for experts talking to each other, sure.
Yeah.
But it acts as this huge barrier to entry for everyone else. It reinforces that curse of knowledge we talked about.
Right. It signals, maybe unintentionally, that if you don't know the secret language, you don't belong.
Exactly.
And when you remove that barrier, the second theme comes through. You democratize knowledge.
That's really the core message, I think.
Yeah.
Scientific knowledge, technical knowledge. It shouldn't be the exclusive property of experts. Moreau is basically tearing down those walls.
Empowering the reader, giving them confidence that no subject is truly beyond reach if it's just explained clearly.
It's an assertion that the world is inherently understandable.
Okay, let's make this practical, because this is where the Moreau method becomes a really useful tool for you, the listener, as a learner, as a professional. How can we actually apply this? Let's start with, say, professional communication.
Okay, you have to consciously try to use first principles thinking in meetings, in presentations. If you work in business, for example, don't just say, we need to leverage our core competencies to maximize synergy between departments.
Okay, yeah. So if I'm stuck with only the 1,000 words, how do I possibly explain that abstract corporate speak to my team?
You focus on the action. What does it mean? Maybe something like, we need to use the best things we know how to do, and we need to put the different work groups together so we get more done faster.
Ah, you translate the jargon into the fundamental purpose? Using our strength to improve speed and output.
Exactly.
That's a huge shift in mindset, actually. It forces you to define the value you're creating, not just name some academic concept.
Right. And for personal learning, or even just problem solving.
Yeah.
This method pushes us to break things down.
How so?
Well, when you're learning a new skill, or maybe troubleshooting something that's broken, try forcing yourself to explain the situation to a friend using only simple language.
Like explaining why my car won't start.
Yeah. Using only words like hot, cold, push, turn, wire, box. When you can do that, you suddenly realize you understand the root function of the system way better than if you just, you know, read the technical manual full of part names.
It ensures more robust, lasting understanding because you get the why, the underlying mechanism, before you just attach the formal label.
Exactly. And this commitment to clarity, it often leads to some surprisingly poetic phrasing. We should share a few memorable lines that really elevate simple language.
My favorite has to be the description of the Earth's molten inner core. It's not just the inner core.
It's the hot heart of the world.
It's so evocative, instantly memorable.
Or the definition of the cell nucleus we mentioned.
The little boss of the bag.
Perfect.
Another good one is the simple screwdriver. It becomes a hand turner for putting in or taking out pieces with cross-shaped tops.
Again, pure function over label. It tells you exactly what it does and how it works.
So the final lesson here really seems to be that complexity is often a choice we make, not a necessity.
That's right. Simplicity isn't dumbing down. It's actually a sophisticated, highly disciplined tool for achieving real clarity.
Yeah. The ultimate test of your expertise isn't how complicated you can sound.
No. It's how clearly you can explain your field to someone really smart who just happens to know nothing about it yet.
This book and the method it lays out, it really feels like a manifesto for clear thinking.
It does.
It shows us that the most profound insights often come wrapped in the simplest explanations and that curiosity. It truly is a universal language.
If we just remove the jargon that stops it from speaking freely.
So if understanding is truly measured by clarity, not complexity.
We want to leave you with this final challenge. Think about the most complex, jargon-filled concept in your own life or your job. Something you struggle to explain simply.
Oh.
Can you try applying the Moreau method, those 1,000 words, to deconstruct it, to explain its core function this week? Give it a try.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the power of radical simplification.
And we encourage you to keep exploring this idea that knowledge is really most valuable when it's clearly understood and can be applied.